Blog Talk Radio.
Communicate across the sky until you hear the message sent through sound and light, so have no fear.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Sportsmonger Radio Show. I'll be your host tonight, or at least one of them. I do think my fearless partner, Later, is on board too. Are you out there, Brian?
I am, Jason. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, and we have liftoff.
I'm having technical difficulties here on the patio studio. For some reason or another, my laptop wasn't wanting to accept the invitation and communicate and allow me to talk, so I had to dial in. We'll get it figured out for next week, no worries. big week going this week. We're pretty happy, lots of stuff going on. So, again, everybody, thank you for joining us here on Sportsmonger Show. Every week, Jason and I will fill you with our tremendous amounts of useless knowledge about the world of sports. You can hit me up at golfmonger, him at pit, sportmonger, and also on our parent site at sportsmonger. So there's plenty of ways to get in touch with us for sure. What do you want to talk about? I mean, is there anything to talk about this week, Jay?
I think we should start the same place we always do.
Absolutely. We should start with football. We should start with last week's games. And before we get into that, I just wanted to say that I understand you're heading to Iowa for some work next week. Have safe travels. I know because you've got some serious winter weather coming up that way, don't you?
Yeah. I think I'm flying right into another storm, actually. So that'll be a lot of fun. Although I think you are going to have more fun next week.
I am going to have more fun. I just found out today that I'm going to be attending a PGA golf show down in Orlando Tuesday to Friday next week. So, yeah, I'll be going to definitely better weather. I looked a little bit at the forecast. I won't tell you what it is because it'll just piss you off. So,
there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I'll just leave that alone and let you find that out on your own. But as always, tonight's show is brought to you by MotorBeachGolf.net. They now offer 5 oceanfront properties, 2 golf course condo communities, and a whole lot more. Their brand new package offer. Look, check this out, Jake. And if you want to come to Myrtle Beach on a golf package, folks, stay 4 nights, play 4 rounds. You can choose from any of these 7 courses: Sandpiper Bay, Pearl East or West, Arcadian Shores, Blackmore, Crown Park, and Black Bear. If you go on that package, each golfer in your group will receive a $50 Visa gift card. They're basically giving you $50 to book on a golf package with them. Giving you $50. Visit MyrtleBeachGolf.net/gift50. It's MyrtleBeachGolf.net/gift50 for more information. I mean, are you kidding me? They can't. I mean, seriously, $50 a guy for booking with them?
That's a can't-miss deal there.
Yeah, no doubt. You can also just call them 877-705-2295. Ask for Scott. He's the man. He'll take care of you. So, football. Divisional round last week. Let's just work them in order so we don't get lost. Patriots pretty much dominate the Chiefs. The score of 27-20. In my opinion, does not reflect how that game was played.
I think that's fair to say. I think it's fair.
The Chiefs displayed masterful handling of time management down the stretch, trying to get back into that game, the likes of something we've never seen in the playoffs.
Yeah.
By the way, and you and I talked about this during the week, as we talk nearly every day, the Chiefs offense is not built to play fast and from behind.
No, absolutely not. When you saw them get behind, you just felt like it was over.
Especially, you know, in the second half when they didn't have their really only true quality receiver threat in Jeremy Maclin, who left the game with injury. But that offense, and that 11-game win streak they were on, they weren't trailing very much late in games. And it almost seemed like from top to bottom, nobody knew what to do to play hurry up and catch up.
Right.
It really did. And then, of course, I don't know if you saw the response, Doug Peterson, who was the Chiefs offensive coordinator, who is now the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was asked that question at a press conference just the other day. You know, now with the Eagles, they asked him about, you know, the time management there at the end. And I don't know if you heard his response, but they said they didn't want to give any time. They didn't want to give Tom Brady a chance to have the football in his hands again. So basically, they have one of the best defenses in the league, but they were banking on running the clock way down, getting an onside kick, and then going and scoring again to tie the game, as opposed to scoring quick, kicking off, letting the best part of your team on the field to try to stop the Patriots and get the ball back.
Yep.
I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where to begin with that, so I'm going to turn it over to you.
Here's and this just – hear me out. This is my opinion. I am a – and I can't even believe I'm saying this. It is difficult, and every team in the league's run into has this issue. It doesn't have a Tom Brady or a Ben Roethlisberger on their team. It's difficult to find a good starting quarterback, a guy you can trust, and a guy that is a proven commodity. Alex Smith, he's pretty good. The guy doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and he's solid. But when he is your option as your quarterback, you have to play. What's the word I'm looking for? I mean, your offense has to be defense. You cannot give Tom Brady the ball back. You just can't.
Well, I mean, in a way, I get what he was saying, and I see where you're going with this. But you got to score, and you got to give yourself a chance. I don't know that I buy that story. Because he didn't even sound overly convincing in the interview that he actually believed what he was saying. But anyway, I think we all expected the Chiefs to win that, or the Patriots to win that game. Although I believe on this show last week, I felt that if the Chiefs could get some pressure on Brady and Alex Smith had a pretty good game, that they could win. And then, of course, neither of those two things happened, which is why a little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking about Tom Brady taking on Peyton Manning for a 17th time. Moving on to the second game, a much more entertaining game. Arizona outlasted the Packers in overtime, 26-20.
It could have been the best playoff game I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it's pretty darn close.
As far as entertainment-wise, maybe not execution, but entertainment-wise, it was as good as I've ever seen.
The other one would have to be also involved that I could think of that might be better, and you and I are slightly biased, would be another game involving the Cardinals, but it would have been Super Bowl 43.
I think this game was even good or better than that, but yes.
Well, it's close. Well, listen, first of all, it looked like for a long time in this game that the Packers were in control and were going to go on and win. It just seemed like they had it. You know, they were their offensive line. Looked like he was healthy. They got Sam Shields back in the secondary, so he was helping lock down on Larry Fitzgerald and Josh Brown, the other Arizona receivers. And it looked like Green Bay was going to make like another crazy run where a month ago everybody was wondering what the heck was wrong with them.
Right.
And now they were getting healthy, and it looked like they were going to beat Arizona, and then they were going to go give Carolina a run for their money. And then unexplainably, down the stretch, you know, a lucky pass, Carson Palmer, Green Bay defensive back. I think the kid's name's Harrison tips the ball, plays the slant pass perfect at the goal line, deflects the ball, except instead of down, it goes up in the air, and then it's caught in the back of the end zone by a different Cardinals receiver. I mean, pure luck. The ball bouncing the proper way.
The whole game was like, surrounded by
Arizona is gonna. So you feel, Arizona's going to win. Then Green Bay gets the ball, 4th and 20 from like the 10-yard line or something like that. Rodgers rolls out and chucks it 50 yards down the field to a wide open Janis, gets behind the defense somehow. How on 4th and 20 in the fourth quarter with less than a minute to go do you let somebody get behind you?
Right.
You know, and the secondary, shame on you. And then they go down and instead of spiking the ball, they try to run a play. So they really have no time left because the play goes ridiculously bad to where they have to do a Hail Mary. And Aaron Rodgers throws one of the most amazing Hail Mary passes I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
He's like falling down, rolling to his left, and throws it 50 yards. And right before that play went off, I was thinking to myself as I was, everybody's in bed here at the house. I'm like, they're blitzing. If they don't get to him, that's only going to leave about 4 defenders down there to cover 3 wide receivers.
Right.
They might have a shot. And they snap the ball, they blitz, he rolls out, makes that pass, and then, again, Janis jumps up and out jumps Patrick Peterson and another defender, catches the ball, amazingly ties the game. And then you think, Green Bay's going to win. They got all the momentum. And then 2 plays later, Fitzgerald, game's over. Boom. In overtime. I mean, what a game. The most entertaining game of the whole weekend, in my opinion. As you said, one
by
of the best
far.
Games you think you've ever seen. Yeah. Yeah.
By far.
So that takes us to Sunday. And the head scratcher of a first half, which was Carolina and Seattle. I mean, folks, raise your hand if you had Carolina going out and boat racing Seattle in the first quarter to the tune of 21-0. All right, now put your hands down because you're all lying.
That's right. I mean, that's right.
So, yeah, if you raise your hand, you're a liar. Shut up. Shame on you. Put your hand down. Because nobody saw that coming. The second half is a bit more predictable, that you know, because generally when teams go out for huge leads like that, they let off the pedal. They try to play let's not lose, and the other team gets their act back together, score some points, and at least Seattle made it interesting the second half. I don't know. I don't have much to say about that game unless there's anything you'd like to add.
It's funny. When I was down 31-0 at half. I actually, I was at my son's soccer game, and I'm sitting there, I'm watching it, and I look at the guy next to me, and I watched the whole first half. I said, you watch, quote unquote, I said, you watch. Seattle's going to come back and make a game of this, and they're probably going to lose by either 7 or 3. But Carolina ain't going to score another point. And he told, looked at me and said, you're full of crap. Well, I left, and it was 31-21. And the guy's looking at me. He's like, well, maybe you're going to be right. I said, it's not predicting anything. You couldn't have guessed that it was rolling to that. It was going down that path, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. I think the better team won. Actually, in all 3 games, I think the better team won. So I don't really think that there's no upsets. And then you get to the finale of the weekend, Pittsburgh at Denver.
The Our healthiest Steelers, team won that game.
Ridiculously shorthanded. And the Broncos, and you hate to pin. I'm not one to pin a game on one play. But man, the only turnover of the game turned into the game-winning touchdown for Denver.
I can't even pin it on that play. I can't pin it on that play.
I know.
I pin it on a third down play.
I don't pin it on one play. It's just a shame. You feel bad for the Toussaint kid.
Oh.
You know, pressed into action last couple of weeks. Played great in the wild card round and had a pretty solid game there in Denver. And just one play, ball got punched out. And, I'm not blaming that one play for the game. It just stinks that the one turnover was the difference in the score. Granted, you got Roethlisberger playing with a half an arm, throwing arm, third, fourth string running back. The best wide receiver in the league, not in the game. At some point, next man up doesn't make sense.
No, at some point, next man up is just, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah. And next man up doesn't work when the next man up is nowhere near as good as the first man.
That's right.
something you preach in the locker room. That's coach speak, and that's what you have to tell your players.
That's right.
But there's not another Antonio Brown on the Steelers roster, on any NFL roster.
No.
So, the healthier team won that game. And now it sets up, the Patriots, Broncos, Manning, Brady, Bold 17, which, God, I hope this is the last one. And Cardinals at the Panthers next week, which we'll get to talk in a little bit. But I want to change gears a little bit on here, Jay. And throw a little curveball at you. We'll go on the topic of the Steelers before we move on to our next topic. Did you hear the comments by Antoine Randall L. This week?
I did, since I'm in Pittsburgh. Of course, I read the paper,
right.
And then, of course, I heard him interviewed. Unbelievable. Not unbelievable. It's what you would expect.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Antoine Randall L. in Indiana, quarterback and receiver, drafted by the Steelers, played most of his career in Pittsburgh, finished his career in Washington. Wide receiver, kind of a little do-it-all guy. He threw the touchdown pass behind Ward on the end around in Super Bowl 40 to really help lead the Steelers to the Super Bowl and over the Seahawks. He came out and said that he wishes he never played football. As much as he loved it, loved his time, loved playing in Pittsburgh and Washington, he just wished he never did because at 36, he has trouble getting out of bed. He has trouble going up and down steps, and his memory isn't what it used to be. Mike Wilbon said this perfect the other day after Randall's comments came out on PTI, I think. Randall's generation is a generation of players playing now. Like, from there on, the kids grow up watching highlight films of the best plays on offense, the great running back run, the great catches by wide receivers, off passes by quarterbacks. And on defense, they don't show good form tackles.
Right.
They show the massive hits, the knockout blows, the guys getting de-cleated, the guys, just crushing the wide receivers, the safeties crushing wide receivers, and middle linebackers just creaming running backs as they come through the middle, or the outside linebackers breaking the quarterback in half on the blindside blitz. And that's how all these kids aspire to play. Now we're turning around telling them, oh, please don't play that way because you're hurting each other.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too, and that's what
you can't have it Goodell both ways.
That's what Goodell and the owners in the NFL and the league is trying to do to the players. SportsCenter, ESPN, Fox, you name it, all the blog sites. Everybody always talks about the big hit, the big play. But then you go tell the players, don't play too rough because you're hurting each other.
Right.
NFL's too violent of a sport. Maybe kids shouldn't even play football till they're 18. I mean, come on. You know the inherent risk when you sign up. I don't want to hear these crybabies saying that I shouldn't have played. Well, you know what? Maybe you should then give the money back that you made.
Right.
If you feel bad about it. And I loved Randall when he was in the black and gold, but I don't like hearing comments like that. You knew what you were doing when you're out there. You didn't have to do it.
I'm going to agree to disagree with you.
fair enough.
I'm going to agree to disagree with you. There isn't enough time on this program for me to get into that, but I'll tell you.
No. And that's a conversation for another time.
Absolutely. Let me leave it at this. You sign up for a violent sport. You sign up to knowing full well that things could go wrong and your future is in doubt. With that said, it's one thing to sign up for it and know it's going to happen, and it's another thing to start living it.
No, I agree. I agree. And maybe I'm going a little over top, but still, it's a little belly aching after the fact.
Absolutely. I can't disagree with that.
All right. We got about 10 minutes left of the show?
We got 10 minutes left, just under 10.
All right, let's take a look at the conference championships then. We were going to do college basketball, but we'll skip that, and we'll go on and we'll cover that more in depth next week, because we'll have a little break between the AFC championship games and the Super Bowl. We'll have 2 weeks to talk about that. Patriots-Broncos. If you've been listening to all the talking heads all week long, nobody in the world is giving the Broncos any chance at all. They've already they've already booked the bus passes and plane tickets for the Patriots to go to San Francisco and play in Super Bowl 50. I ask you, Jason, give me a reason why you should not just automatically pencil New England in and give the Broncos a chance.
I absolutely cannot give you a reason. I can't. The Patriots, I thought about it all night. I thought about it all day and all night. I can't give you a reason. I'm taking the Patriots all the way. And it's because I have zero faith in Peyton Manning. Zero. He looked abysmal against Pittsburgh. And the only reason, his guys dropped passes, but the only reason they were in the game is because Pittsburgh couldn't convert and that defense kept them in the game. That's it. And the defense kept a shorthanded Steeler team in the game. Now they're going to go up against Gronk, Amendola. They're all healthy now.
They're all healthy. Yeah. Well, let me throw one idea out there. And this is really the only chance that I think that Denver has.
Bus breakdown?
Brady misses the flight. no. What's the one way consistently over the years you've seen Tom Brady get beat?
You got to pressure him.
You got to sack him. You got to knock him down. Denver's defense can do that. That's their only opportunity, because if you can – that's how the Dolphins seem to beat him every year, or the Jets when they beat him, is they're in his face. They sack him 5 or 6 times. They don't have to cause turnovers or anything like that. They just got to get – Brady is one of those quarterbacks that just as great as he is and as easy as he handles blitzes, he doesn't like being hit.
Right.
And the more you hit him, the worse he plays.
Right.
So if Denver can get in his kitchen early and get in his face, knock him down, sack him, get him – but if they can't do that, they have no chance. And I'm not saying I feel they will do that. I'm just saying that's the only chance. It doesn't matter how Peyton Manning plays, in my opinion. I think even if he plays a great game, I think the Patriots still are too much for Denver. If Denver's defense doesn't sack Brady 5 or 6 times, knock him down. I'm not even saying they have to have turnovers. Obviously, turnovers help. But I'm not even saying they have to do that. But that is their chance. But I'm with everybody else. I'm pretty sure it's going to be New England.
Yep.
The much more interesting game is Arizona at Carolina. I've been saying to you for quite some time now, I think that Arizona is the best team in the NFC. You don't agree with me. but I think because all around, overall, they've got really good defense, a decent running game. They've got a solid running game. They've got good wide receivers. They've got a veteran quarterback. Special teams is good. I think they're the best team in the NFC. still not sold on they're going to beat Carolina. But I've been saying all along they're the best team, so I should pick them, right?
Well, it sounds like you already have.
I haven't.
Sure.
So you like the Panthers in this game?
I do like the Panthers. I do not see them losing. I don't see him losing. It's his year, in my opinion. Although I think Arizona is very good. Carson Palmer scares me.
Well, let me go this far to say this: if you're right and Arizona wins or Carolina wins, then go ahead. Not only everybody that's already writing Tom Brady into the Super Bowl, go ahead and put their name on the trophy again. I'll just say that now.
What you're gonna,
as much as it pains me as a Steelers fan, I'll just go ahead and say if it's New England Carolina, it'll be a repeat of the 2003 Super Bowl.
I don't think so. I think either NFC team can beat the Patriots this year. I think the Pats are going to come up short in the biggest game of the season. That's just my opinion.
I would take Arizona over New England, but I don't think I'd take Carolina over them.
I do, because I think the one thing Carolina can do that I don't trust Arizona to do is score with them. I don't think the Patriots can stop Carolina. I don't.
I do. The Patriots are strong in the red zone. They always are. That's the one thing that allows them to win all the time. They get in the red zone, they score touchdowns. You get in the red zone, they give up field goals, and that's how they beat teams. For the sake of argument this week, I'm taking Arizona.
Okay.
I think if Palmer can get off to a good start in the first quarter, connect on some passes, score. Don't even have to be touchdowns. They can score in the first half or in the first quarter, get out the gate. I think you'll see the Cardinals win and go back to the Super Bowl again. I think it's Patriots Cardinals this weekend. Whatever. I know you got the opposite. You got both. You got Pats, Panthers, and it sounds to me like you like Panthers to win it all. You think it's their year, but
I do. I do think it's their year, and I'm probably going to be wrong because I've been wrong now for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, that makes two of us. Because I thought Seattle was going to go in and beat them, and they got boat raced to 31-0 in the first half. So they held on up. But yeah, I think that. Well, I mean, and that's the best part about, it's just fun to watch these teams in these matchups. And now we probably got, about a minute left.
Yep.
But, it'll be good. It'll be fun. It'll be great games to watch. And that's...
I hope.
And that's what's exciting. So that's about all the time we got for today, guys. I appreciate you jumping on board. We're going to be here again every Thursday. Next week will be a little unique as you will be in the great state of Iowa and I will be in the Florida, in Orlando, the PGA show. So we'll figure it out. We'll get a show to you next week. We can't miss, talking about who's right, who was right, and who was wrong in the NFC and AFC championship games next week for sure. But we'll be back at it, same bad time, same bad channel. Look for us on bystnow.com and follow us on Twitter at golfmonger, at sportsmonger, and Jason is at pitsportmonger. Today's show, again, brought to you by myrtlebeachgolf.net. Again, that spring package is awesome. If you guys don't check that out and book, I mean, they're giving you $50 for booking. $50 per player, not $50 total, per player. You got 12 guys, you're getting $600. I mean, it's crazy. Call them at 877 705 2295, and that's myrtlebeachgolf.net. Tell Scott, Brian, and Jason said hi when you book them. And we'll catch you guys next week here on the Sportsmonger Show. For Jason, I'm Brian. Have a great weekend, everyone.